Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many guys ever went to a restaurant and you got a little bit more than what you asked for? A little surprise came with your meal, right? It's like this guy. It's in print, folks. Deal with it. KFC customer horrified after munching into drumstick, then finds what? Maggots wriggling inside. Hey, folks, it's called foul meat for a reason. I've been telling you that for years. You need to deal with the fact. And it goes on to say this, and I quote, "The grim discovery was made after noticing the man's meal was covered in squirming larvae. He says he found at least 8 maggots inside one drumstick." There you go. Let's pray. No. but believe it or not, there is a lesson to be learned in that. You know, it's called never go there again. Okay. But the point is this. I'm trying to warn you. The point is this. Sometimes you get a little bit more than what you bargained for. You didn't ask for it, but they gave it to you anyway. You know what I'm saying? Something a little gross. Well, folks, believe it or not, something even more gross was given to people who didn't ask for it. And that was those that got the COVID shots. This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Watch what he says.
75% of Americans took a shot. We know that from the COVID States Project. And of those, 94% took messenger RNA. This is what we know now. This is a disaster. For sure, messenger RNA causes heart damage via the spike protein, neurologic damage like stroke and intracranial hemorrhage, neuropathy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, proven. Blood clotting, the spike protein is found in blood clots larger than we've ever seen before, not responsive to blood thinners, they don't seem to dissolve. And then lastly, immunologic problems like multi-system inflammatory disorder. Now, Jeff, new news to make matters worse. You can't believe this. The spike protein, which is produced in abundance, the S1 and the S2 segment, looks like the S2 segment in a paper from University of Pittsburgh by Singh and colleagues. It interferes with two tumor suppressor systems, P53 and BRCA, BRCA, meaning our ability to keep cancer cells in check is lost. And now Kevin McKernan has a paper on preprint server. He's found cDNA, which is coming off the E. coli part of the manufacturing, cDNA in high concentrations contaminating these vials. And Jeff, you can't believe it, but you know what one of the sequences is? SV40. SV40 is a known tumor gene promoter. So we have a situation now, which is the data started coming together. These messenger RNA shots promote cancers through SV40 and inhibit their immune suppression through suppressing P53 and BRCA. And now we have cancer rates skyrocketing.
You wonder why I keep preaching on this. These guys are sick. They know what they're doing. They're mass murder megamaniacs. But believe it or not, there is good news. Just again, like there was good news in the KFC story. Got to find the silver lining. The silver lining is don't go to KFC anymore. Keep feeling cruddy. That's what it stands for. Deal with it. But believe it or not, there's now good news. Same doctor, Dr. McCullough, because you got doctors like Dr. Mick and Nurse Heather who haven't drunk the Kool-Aid and who are here to help you, faithful medicine. That's why God led us with the Holy Trinity Medical Practice. But Dr. McCullough is one of those doctors as well. And they're now working on a good possibility how to reverse the damaging effects of that. This just came out. Get your pens out, and you might want to write this down. Let's take a look at this.
I took the vaccine. I took the shot. What do I do to protect myself from these, from the aftermath? And you just gave a program that you're suggesting to people. Can you say it again, please?
Yeah, we have a major paper accepted now for publication. Will come out. Base spike detox means it's a base of therapy. You can add other things to it, but we think it's necessary in everybody. We need two ways to degrade the spike protein, get it out of the body. First is natokinase, NATTOKINASE, 2,000 units twice a day. The second is bromelain, 500 milligrams once a day. They both degrade the spike protein different ways. They accelerate the clearance of it together. And the last is something to reduce inflammation and spike protein damage. That is curcumin, either in the nano or liposomal form is fine. Curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day. All of these are available over the counter. They are readily available. And I can tell you, people ought to get going on this because these syndromes, as we're finding out, are bad. Look at these cardiac arrests, major blood clots, people going down. It's because the spike protein is not being cleared out of the body. People can take control of their own bodies and get after this.
Now, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV, but that doctor on TV, you might want to take what he says serious if that's you, because your life might be on the line. And that's what we're dealing with here, folks. And that's why we're dealing with this guy, Klaus Schwab, and the gang, right? Because they are the ones who are a part of this mass murder campaign. And they are building what I'm convinced the Bible warned about 2,000 years ago. It's called the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. Okay, it's not a surprise because Klaus grew up in Hitler's Germany. His dad there, Eugene on the right, he was buddies with Hitler. And so that's the last time we saw this Holocaust kind of mass murder, megamaniac behavior going on. Well, basically, that's what Klaus is doing. He's taking what Hitler did, only got as far as Germany, and now he's bringing it to the whole world, whether you want it or not. Except he doesn't call it the Fourth Reich. He should, because that's really what it is. He just calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. Okay, and what's he admit? The plandemic was the trigger to start it. Hitler did that with his invasion, starting World War II, to bring in his Third Reich. The plandemic, he admits, is our opportunity now. This is from him. Reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And again, since it's Bible prophecy related, that's why we're dealing with it. Now, for proof of this, we've already seen Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. It's still going on to this day. We looked at their murderous motive. We're just useless people, straight out of Hitler's verbiage there. The global food control, they're controlling the food supply, and they're using it to murder and make people dumb and docile. They're also genetically modifying the food supply so that if you didn't get the jab, they're going to get it into one way or another. There's many different types of genetic altering technology they're using. They admit it's going to go into an apocalypse, but they're still doing it. And they're genetically altering us as humans. They're also mixing us with animals. They're also cloning us. They're also trying to create with brain chips, cyborg humanity. I'm not joking. We saw that for 2 weeks. Also, they've created and they're creating genetic super soldiers, you know, just in case you and I try to resist. And they're not calling themselves eugenists like Hitler, because that's too obvious. They call themselves transhumanists. It's the same thing. It's just a new term. And they got plans for us. And they got their methods, right? They don't need God. They don't need Jesus Christ. They're going to use their science and technology to live forever. And those of us that are still left alive, according to them, then we get to be genetically modified to better serve them. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's sick. It's satanic. But that's really what they're up to. And we're going like, well, why? Because these folks are involved in the occult. This is what we started last time. I love that picture, folks. In fact, let me see if I can back out that text. Take a good look at that. This is what we're going to deal with today. And I really like this picture because I really think this is what these people are doing behind the scenes. They're laughing at us, how stupid we could be, even Christians. These guys you're going to see blatantly, just like Klaus and the gang. They're involved in the occult, they're Satan worshipers, and they hate God. They're laughing at us. And it, look, it's both parties. It doesn't matter, folks. That's what we're going to deal with today. But last time we saw that. Why is Klaus doing this? How could these guys look us square in the face and lie to us and murder mass? Because they're involved in the occult. They worship Satan. And that's what Revelation 9 said. That in the last days, these people are so hard-hearted that they wouldn't repent of their behaviors, including their murders, because they were involved in pharmakeia, big pharma. That's where we get that word from. And they wouldn't stop worshiping demons. Folks, that's exactly Klaus's background. And again, that's exactly who Satan was. He wasn't just an evolutionist. He was an occultist, right? It was the occult that got him into office. We saw that, the Thule Society. It was the occult that steered him while he was in office. That was the Golden Dawn Society, okay? And Hitler, believe it or not, told people he was an occultist, but they didn't get it because they weren't trained on occult symbols, including the swastika. He didn't come up with that. That's an old symbol that's been around for a long time, including in the Black Magic Occult Society, as well as the SS. They had this on their uniforms. These are occult symbols. It's not even really SS. It's two lightning bolts symbolizing Satan coming down, being thrust down to the earth as lightning, as Jesus said. Also, some would say it stands for sons of Satan and things of that nature in the occult. So they told people they were occult society taking over Germany, but people didn't catch it because they weren't trained in that. And shocker, once again, what have I been saying this whole study? You want to know what's going on today? Look at Hitler. Everything Hitler did, these guys are doing now on a global scale. Shocker, it just came out a few months ago. Finnish professor exposes occult roots in where? The World Economic Forum. They're occultists as well. Everything that Hitler did, these guys are doing. And we saw that still on the World Economic Forum website. Klaus gives an appreciation to this guy, Maurice Strong, the UN, Theosophy. And they believe that Satan's a good guy. That we need to listen. That's their belief system. That Satan's a good guy. And we need to follow his one world leader that's coming, and he's going to usher in utopia. We don't need Jesus or the Bible and wait for him to bring the millennial kingdom. We're going to build a one world government, a one world economy, a one world. What is that? That's the Antichrist kingdom. The Bible is the only book that calls it out for what it is. But these are people who are still to this day involved with the UN. Klaus admits they're his inspiration. He's been working with them. They're all occultists, as we saw. In fact, about as blunt as you can get, this is from the UN, Robert Mueller. We must move as quickly as possible to a one world government, a one world religion under a one world leader. Listen, Christian, this is the only book on the planet that tells what this is. It's not just a program. It's not just an ideology. It's not just an agenda. It's the foundation of the Antichrist kingdom. These guys are building it before our very eyes. And we saw they too got their symbols. They got their phraseology to describe that Satan's a good guy. We need to follow one world leader and their one world government, blah, blah, blah. And it was the term New Age, Age of Aquarius, the New World Order, which came straight out of Theosophy, and shocker, their symbol to describe this new utopia coming under Satan was the rainbow. That's an occult symbol that they've twisted. It didn't just start with the LGBT gang as well. And of course, the latest term is the Great Reset. So that's really what's going on here. Okay. Oh, by the way, just as a side note, Hollywood, you talk about symbols, they tell you who they're working for. People didn't get it that Hitler was an occultist because they didn't understand what the uniforms meant. Swastika, SS. Same thing in Hollywood. Hollywood works with these guys. Hollywood's the one who's been promoting and duping people into to getting the jab and going along with the one world religion, and Christians are bad and evil, all right? Hollywood, for years, people downplay this, but they too are involved in the occult, and they let you know. They'll flat out wear a swastika or a swastika and a rainbow combined together. That's not by chance. Those are two occult symbols, okay, straight out of Hollywood. Even more so, the lightning bolt. Look at Hollywood, folks, not just the lightning bolt, even in their makeup. Look at magazines. Look at the movies. It's not by chance. They do everything on purpose. They use the same occult symbols. They tell you, they telegraph who they're working for, okay, including the mass crowd. Now, it isn't just the lightning bolt. Of all things, why would you pick a lightning bolt? But notice it's the lightning bolt and the rainbow. Again, these are all occult symbols. Hollywood uses them. It's part of their agenda. It's also in the music industry as well. That's, of course, David Bowie. And not only the lightning bolt occult symbol, but the all-seeing eye, right? Notice the triangle. Oftentimes, you'll see Hollywood doing this, making gestures with the triangle. And again, Lord willing, Wednesday nights, we're getting into Freemasonry. We're going to see this in greater detail, Lord willing. But the all-seeing eye. And to symbol the all-seeing eye, not just the lightning bolt, they'll cover one eye. And that's the symbol of that. But again, that's their occult way of saying, here we are, who's we're working for. But people don't catch it. They're going kind of like, well, I know he's doing the eyeball. And folks, it's everywhere. Look at everywhere. Hollywood, magazines, billboards, posters. It's everywhere. Okay, they do this all the time. It's all occult symbols, including this. German TV shows what? Nazi symbols on the helmets of Ukraine? Are we being duped on the Ukraine issue too? Yes, folks. Ukraine's being used to further push the COVID pandemic, the Great Reset. But listen, they're wearing, this is from German TV. They're wearing the swastika and the SS. And we're supposed to support that? You got to be kidding me. And I'll just add this one as a little precursor into Freemasonry. Elon Musk, as we saw before, who's no friend of freedom, let alone Christianity. Okay, guess what? He relabeled Twitter X. And maybe it's just a quinky dink, but the way that that X is drawn, you put two of them together, what's it look like? The compass and the square of Freemasonry. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence. No, these people, listen, people didn't get it. Hitler, believe it or not, he was open about his occult background and his occult power. That's why he did the satanic things he did. He had them on the uniforms as plain as day. It was right out in open, but because people didn't know what to look for, it went in one ear and out the other. It's the same thing being repeated today. Okay, now that's just the first part. It's a double, I call it the double whammy negative effect. The society that's going to be in place in the last days is going to usher in the Antichrist kingdom. Number one, they're Satan worshipers, but the Bible also says at the same time they do that, they hate God. They're God haters. And folks, can I tell you something? You're going to see that here is here today as well. That's why things are so messed up. They don't just worship Satan. They literally, as we will see, they detest God. And God says, when you reach that state, it's over. It's game over time. Once again, Romans chapter 1, we're going to take a look. What God says is going to happen when your society, what's the mindset of people going to be when you're at that last stage of destruction, right? And we're going to see very plainly God calls that. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 31. Let's take a look at what God says. Again, why is his wrath being revealed from heaven upon mankind? Well, you're going to see it pretty bluntly here. And he tells you exactly the step-by-step process, right? But we're going to pull out another nugget. Romans chapter 1, as we read and stand and read God's holy word. Romans chapter 1, 18 to 31 says this. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. By the way, do we have anybody suppressing the truth today?
Yes.
Folks, it's all over the place. And dare I say, even in churches who refuse to teach the Bible, you're suppressing the truth. You need to run from those places. That's called censored Christianity. Get out of there. Stop supporting that. But he goes on to say, since what may be known about God is plain to them. How? Because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became what? Fools. Why? Because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. Nobody's going to stand before God. I didn't have enough proof you exist. No, listen. God, through his creation, from the flea to the bee to the tree, you and me, we can see intelligent design, which implies a designer. You got no excuse. God's given you plenty of evidence of his invisible qualities can be seen in what he has made. Give me a break. And you know this. But because you chose to buy into a lie, dare I say evolution, God starts to say, okay, here's what you get. Therefore, God gave them over to what? In the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised and amen. Evolution came into a country, began to be the only one that could be taught in schools in the 50s and 60s. What followed that? We bought into the lie of evolution, had the audacity to say, God, you're not real, even though you've given us plenty of existence. We're going to be dumb on purpose, which is what the scripture says. They're willingly ignorant. Okay? And what do you get? What do we have in the 60s and 70s? The sexual revolution. It's exact same. Did we turn from there? No. So here's what came next in the 80s and 90s. Because of this, God gave them over to what? Shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. That's lesbianism. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women, and we're playing with lust for one another. What's that? Homosexuality. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the penalty, the due penalty for their perversion. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's a perversion, right? And so that's what happened. So we didn't turn away in the 60s and 70s. You reap what you sow. God gave you over now. And that's when we begin to see the rise of homosexuality, lesbianism in the 80s and 90s. Did we turn from that? No. So that's where we're at today, folks. And let's take a look at this. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to what? A depraved mind. Oh boy. To do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness and evil and greed and depravity. They're full of envy and what? Murder. Okay. And strife, deceit, malice. They're gossip, slanders. What does it say? God haters. Insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve those who practice them. Can you say the Supreme Court? You may be seated if you can. But again, let's pull out this nugget. How do you know you're in the last days of society? Look at all those wicked behaviors. Every single one of them is mentioned there. 100%, not half, not 75%. Every single one is in place today. Every one of them. It's this last stage of being given over to a depraved mind to do things that ought not to be done. But it says there specifically, not just Revelation 9, that these people would be worshiping demons, i.e. Satan worshipers, but they would also hate God. You become a God-hating society. Oh, and let me expound on that, because it's the Greek word, God-haters, is theostuges, and it means not just to be hateful to God. Watch this. These people are, quote, exceptionally wicked. Why? Because you literally consider God as something detestable. That's what it means. Whoa. Man, can you imagine a society? What kind of a society that would be if you had to live in a society that on the one hand worships Satan and on the other hand consider God something detestable? That's today. This is why these people, folks, Klaus and the gang, including people we're going to see in a second, in our own government, who worked together with him on this same agenda, this is why they could look us square in the face and not just lie and smile while you do it. Knowing it's going to mass murder people across the planet. They worship Satan, and they consider God detestable. Now, this is why Klaus Schwab's science advisor, Yuval Noah Harari, he considers God detestable. He thinks that they are the new gods of the planet. And this is why he blasphemes God all the time. Let's take a little sampling of that.
God is dead, according to the World Economic Forum, who have also declared that Jesus is fake news and that WEF leaders have acquired divine powers to rule over humanity. The blasphemy doesn't stop there. Harari also promises that the WEF will turn humans into gods.
Developing even bigger powers than ever before, we are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
We don't need to wait for Jesus Christ to come back to Earth in order to overcome death. A couple of geeks in a laboratory can do it.
We should get used to the idea that we are now basically the gods of planet Earth. We have now divine powers of creation and destruction.
The next big projects of humankind will be to overcome old age and death, to find the keys, the secret to happiness, and to basically upgrade humans into gods. This is why the title Homo Deus, God-man. And I don't mean it as a kind of literary metaphor. I mean it in the literal sense that for thousands of years, humans have imagined gods in a particular way. They ascribed particular abilities and qualities to gods. And we are here in a church, and the walls are full of these descriptions of what God can do. And we are now seriously in the business of acquiring these traditional divine abilities and qualities to ourselves. Because the gods, like Jehovah in the Bible, they could create only organic beings. If you look, if you're a creationist and you look at the world, so all these animals, all these plants, God created them and they are all organic. Now humans are trying to do better than that.
And there is nothing that, I don't know, Joseph Goebbels didn't know about all this idea of fake news and post-truth. He famously said that if you repeat a lie often enough, people will think it's the truth, and the bigger the lie, the better. Because people won't even think that something so big can be a lie. And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible.
Smirk now, buddy. Hope you get saved. Blasphemy is right. Now again, what's the constant thing? We're the new gods. What's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to declare himself to be God. And people will worship him. So this whole mindset is the Antichrist kingdom mindset. As well as what he is out there constantly doing, blaspheming God. That's another thing the Bible says the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be doing in the seven-year tribulation. Revelation 13, 5 through 6. The beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter what? Just think about what you just saw. Proud words and blasphemies. And to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to what? Blaspheme God and slander his name. You just saw it, folks. And his dwelling place with those who live in heaven. Now, it's not by chance that of all people in that interview, when he was mocking the scripture, the Bible, he mentioned Joseph Goebbels. Remember that? Who's that? That was Hitler's propaganda guy, the media guy. And that's not by chance, because again, everything Hitler did, these guys are doing. Hitler was an evolutionist, an occultist, and a hater of God. Okay? These guys are doing the same thing. In fact, let's show how Hitler was a hater of God. First of all, he can't even eat watermelon, so he's got serious problems. But anyway, seriously, during the 1930s, Adolf Hitler believed he was, and this is secular researchers admit this, he was carrying Darwinism forward with his doctrine that undesirable individuals and inferior races must be eliminated. The position in Germany was that man must conform to nature, the process, no matter how ruthless, the fittest must never stand in the way of the law of evolutionary progress. That's the same mindset with these transhumanists. They don't care. We're doing a greater deed. We got to improve the human race. Who cares if you get in the way? We'll just take you out. The social view was used in Germany to justify sterilization, what? Mass murder and the unfit, incompetent, inferior races. That's the same mindset that they use today. Hitler called it useless eaters. They just call it useless people. It's the same thing, same mindset being repeated. Let's go even deeper. One not need to read far in Hitler's Mein Kampf, okay, to find that evolution influenced him and his views on the master race. Again, that's what Klaus and the gang are doing. The Great Reset, that we need to create a human 2.0, augmented humanity. All that, it's the same thing, folks. Genocide, human breeding experience. That's why it was. It's an evolutionary mindset. Another guy said this, I cannot deny that the theory of evolution and the atheism it engendered led to the moral climate that made a Holocaust possible. We can do whatever we want. Because we're the gods now. There is no God. We're not accountable to anybody. And it's our job as the elites to do this to the planet. The same thing, the same mentality of Hitler. It's all being repeated. And I quote, Hitler said this, quote, secular research, I regard Christianity as the most fatal, seductive lie that has ever existed. Can I translate that? That's what this guy is saying. That's what he's saying. They worship Satan and they hate God. And if you guys haven't noticed, they also did another thing recently, Yuval Noah Harari. They said, we need to use AI to rewrite the Bible, to make it better for everyone. Did you see that? Watch this.
Well, we are now almost like gods in terms of our powers of creation and destruction. We now have the power to create new life forms. The evolution of life on Earth took something like 4 billion years. 4 billion years to reach these plants and to reach us, human beings. So ChatGPT and all these wonders, they are the amoebas of the AI world. It's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. Throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years.
The far-reaching consequences would be a new Bible written by artificial intelligence. Let's see if we can guess what that Bible would be like. I asked AI the following question. If you were going to rewrite the Bible to suit all religions, what would you remove? This is what it said. Remove exclusivist language. Emphasize universal values. Incorporate teachings from other religious texts. Avoid specific doctrinal statements. Acknowledge multiple paths. It would remove the exclusivity of Christ, the offense of salvation by grace alone, any reference to sin, righteousness, and judgment, and of course, especially any condemnation of homosexuality. It would change the revealed nature of God into an idol that has no sense of justice, no moral dictate, and therefore will not punish sinful behavior.
As bad as that is, that's the new Bible, the accepted Bible that AI will create. There's churches already doing this. They ain't waiting for some new AI Bible. And by the way, if the AI writes a new Bible, they'll go right along with it because they're already doing it. You get it? It's crazy. Now, I will say this as a side note. Listen, I'm all about the media and whatever, but this is the danger. You need to start creating a library with what time we have left of hard copy of stuff. This is why we encourage people to get a DVD of the studies, not just the online version, which is they're out there in all different kinds of formats. But all these guys that they control, if everything, all information, if it's all electronic, it cannot just be deleted. Folks, it could be changed and you wouldn't even know. and you're thinking you're reading an online Bible, but is it perverted by AI? That's the danger. You better get hard copies, and you better get used to it, right? That's a little side note. But again, what of all things for him to do, first, you're blaspheming God, you're a hater of God, but why now the latest thing, literally just a few weeks ago, you're saying we got to rewrite the Bible? Because again, folks, Hitler did the same thing. I've said this till I'm blue in the face. You want to know what's going on today? Go do a deep dive on Hitler. Everything Hitler did in the Third Reich, these guys are now doing to the whole world this time. It should be called the Fourth Reich, but they just call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. And I quote, this is a Jewish newspaper. I think they would know. Hitler's, quote, attempt to rewrite the Bible. And they go on to say that they, quote, got involved with theologically liberal Protestant churches, okay, to, quote, redefine Christianity, to make Jesus into not just a non-Jew, but an anti-Jew, removing all references of Judaism, and they made Jesus into a, quote, proto-Nazi who, quote, fought against to destroy Judaism, but he died in the struggle. It was called the Nazi Bible. So again, nothing's new under the sun. These guys are repeating the same thing. And I don't know about you, but I'm just so glad that that's only constrained to Klaus Schwab and the gang. This occult behavior, Satan worshipers, haters of God. Aren't you glad that nobody in our government's doing the same thing? Yeah, that's called a setup. Because it is. This is why they get along. This is why Biden's working with them and other people. You're going to see, I'm going to be fair today, obviously. It's both sides of the aisle. It ain't just Democrats, Republicans. Listen, this is why they can look us in the face, lie to us and smile, knowing it's going to murder millions of people. Even our own government, they're involved in the occult. They worship Satan and they hate God. It's a bad combo, but it's a sign we're in the last days. Now, let's back up. I can go way back, but let's just start with the Reagan years. And again, I'm going to be fair. It's both sides of the aisle. Reagans were involved in the occult. And we're going to bring that. That picture, by the way, is from an article that's entitled The First Ladies Who Brought the Occult to the White House. Secular article. And I quote, it isn't just Nancy Reagan. Mary Todd Lincoln is also. They said there's five in particular. Jan Pierce, Mary Todd Lincoln, Edith Wilson, Florence Harding, and Nancy Reagan all had, quote, interests in the occult. They said we could go on to include Grace Coolidge, Roosevelt, Lady Bird, Johnson, Jackie Kennedy, all who claimed to see Lincoln's ghost while in the White House. But folks, I don't have time to go that far back. But let's take a look. Even the news admitted that one of the things that guided public policy in the Reagan years was an occult practice called astrology. Watch this.
NBC's Andrea Mitchell tells us tonight, new reports of Mrs. Reagan's reliance on an astrologer raised new questions about national security.
In her book, My Turn, Nancy Reagan says she relied on astrology as a crutch because of fears about her husband's safety after the assassination attempt. Astrologer Joan Quigley told NBC News she and Mrs. Reagan talked constantly, sometimes several times a day, and not only about the president's safety.
She was not only interested in the president's safety and having me do for him the things that I'd done during the 80 campaign, but she was also interested in improving her own image. And I was very occupied with that at first.
Quigley had veto power over the scheduling of all presidential press conferences. She advised when it was safe to travel, when he should hold a summit.
I picked a time on the day they left that was an excellent time for what we wanted to accomplish. And I also changed their evil empire attitude by briefing them on Gorbachev's horoscope. By the time we were working on the Washington summit, she was calling me two and three times a day.
And according to former White House officials and Quigley, the astrologer was involved in everything. She picked the departure time for the Reykjavik summit, the optimum time for signing an arms control treaty, the best time for the trip to Moscow. And when Mrs. Reagan was upset about a controversial trip to Germany in 1985, Quigley plotted every takeoff and landing. Described by friends as superstitious, almost mystical, Reagan was inclined to defer to his wife's wishes.
No, that's bad luck.
I have learned not to argue with her superstitions.
We're truth tellers as Christians. We need to stop being hypocrites. If you see evil on one side, call it out. But if you see evil on the other side, you better call it out too. Because what happens is when we witness to people about the most important thing, Jesus Christ, and they say, yeah, how can I trust you? Because you call this out here, but you keep your mouth shut over here. We have to be consistent. That's why I started back with the Reagan, right? But then we were blessed, yeah, bad word there, with the Clintons. No, it was not a blessing. The occult activity continued on. And there's a reason why she's pictured as a witch, okay? Because she was into witchcraft. You'll see that in a second. But it's, and this is secular research, they admit that Hillary Clinton, quote, liked to talk to dead people. She did seances in the White House. She specifically said she doesn't want to talk to Jesus Christ. You'll see that in a second. But she wanted to talk to, and she, quote, channeled with a New Ager in the White House, a seance. She would get people involved, including Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi. She even admitted, Hillary said this in a newspaper column, I occasionally have imaginary conversations with Roosevelt to try to figure out what she would what she would do in my shoes. She usually responds, she says, by telling me to buck up or to at least grow skin as thick as a rhinoceros. But the Secret Service has come out now and admitted that the Clintons, certainly Hillary, was involved in witchcraft.
About once a month, Hillary would go out to Los Angeles. And she did it so regular that it became a bit of an issue trying to, why is she always going? Bill told me that she was going out there, she and a group of women, and she would be a part of a witch's church. And, man, when Bill told me that, you could have hit me with a baseball bat. I tried to point out to him. He realized what had happened if that got out. Of course, my job is to make sure it didn't get out. Now, I don't know today if Hillary still partakes in the witch ritual. I don't know that I even know what the ritual was. But for the better part of many years, Hillary would go quite often, whether it was regularly once a month or maybe once every couple of months. She would go out on a weekend simply to be a part of it.
Very appropriate. Back in the day, people did call her a witch, not realizing she really was involved in witchcraft. Now, good thing Bill was clean as a whistle. Bill was also involved in the occult. In fact, it's now out that he was into voodoo. In fact, you'll see in a second, he actually admitted that voodoo is what helped him to get into the White House. But let's take a look at that.
So let's continue. Let's go through this for you right now. This is WorldNet Daily. Source, FBI has evidence Hillary visited Orgy Island. That's today. Book says Hillary talks to the dead. It says that it calms her, but that she'll talk to anybody but Jesus Christ. Of course, it's a demon. And then it goes through how she does it. And we have an article breaking it down, flashback, occultic Hillary summons the dead, refuses to speak to Christ. Hillary was attending a satanic church, says Clinton inside it. Spirit cooking. Clinton campaign chairman invited to bizarre satanic performance, which they admit he attended, where they drink semen, blood, urine, and more, and then pour blood on effigies of small babies and worship Baphomet. And they admit this is from Aleister Crowley in their own admissions. And that's just what they publicly are up to. The New York Times did a review of it, strangely enough, November 1st, about how wonderful this lady is, who is a priestess of Aleister Crowley. Here's the Washington Post. The time Bill and Hillary Clinton went to a voodoo ceremony in Haiti. I'm going to actually get to where he says they got married there. They had their honeymoon there. They got honeymoon there, not married. And how he loves to have the spirits, good and evil, enter him. And how, well, and that's his world religion.
But you know what? That's Alex Jones. He's one of those wacky conspiracy theorists. There's no way. No. It's in print. And I quote, the time that Bill and Hillary Clinton went to a voodoo ceremony in Haiti. And this is Bill Clinton saying what I'm about to describe. He said, after several minutes of rhythmic dancing to pounding drums, the spirits, demons, arrived, seizing a woman and a man. The man proceeded to rub a burning torch all over his body and walk on hot coals without being burned. The woman, in a frenzy, she's demon-possessed, screamed repeatedly, then grabbed a live chicken and bit its head off. Then the spirits, demons, left, and those who had been possessed fell to the ground. Clinton wrote, quote, "His brief foray into the world of voodoo furthered his fascination with the way that different cultures try to make a sense of life, and by the time he says we got back from Haiti, I determined to run for eternity general. This time he won," and quote, "he was on his way to the White House," and this is from Bill Clinton. He says, "the Lord works in mysterious ways." Yeah, the Lord of voodoo, not the Lord of the Bible. Oh, and then before and after the Clintons, we had to deal with these guys, the Bushes. Who Bush Jr., remember, oh, that was his big thing to get your vote. He was a Christian. No, he's not. Here he is on tape proving he's not a Christian. Remember this?
Let me ask some questions about faith, which is a tough subject to talk about. Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do.
Does?
We have different routes of getting to the Almighty.
Do Christians and non-Christians, do Muslims go to heaven in your mind?
Yes, they do. We have different routes of getting there.
No, we don't. There's only one way to get there, John 14:6. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other way. And for you to voice that repeatedly, I'm sorry, you're not a Christian. Can we deal with this? We got duped. The Bush family, before and after the Clintons, folks, are steeped in the occult. They're a part of what's called the Skull and Bone Society. It's open knowledge. Let's take a look at that.
Founded in 1832, Skull and Bones is the oldest of Yale's many secret societies. Historically, admission is reserved for senior Yale undergraduates. Every year in the spring, 15 new members from the junior class are offered membership on what is often called Tap Night. A custom aptly named, as the new member is said to be notified of their admittance when a current member ritually claps them on the shoulder. Skull and Bones members are known to take an oath of secrecy, so their rituals and intricacies are highly guarded, despite the fame of their members. One thing we do know is the physical location of the Skull and Bones clubhouse and headquarters. The nearly windowless building, simply known as the Tomb, is housed in a large brownstone located at 64 High Street in New Haven, Connecticut. To preserve confidentiality, non-members are prohibited from entering. The macabre decor of the clubhouse is well suited to Skull and Bones' distinctively ghoulish spirit. The tomb is said to be adorned with skeletons, skulls, and other dark works of art. There is a popular rumor that the stolen skull of the Apache leader Geronimo is a relic that is housed within the tomb's cadaverous walls. In 2009, Geronimo's descendants attempted to sue the organization to get the skull returned to them, but were unsuccessful. Portraits of its distinguished members line the walls of the tomb as well. Portraits that might feature such esteemed bonesmen, like former presidents George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, and William Howard Taft, as well as the father of American football and the founder of the NCAA, Walter Camp, the man who helped create the Hubble telescope, Lyman Spitzer, Time Magazine's founder Henry Luce, Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart, former Secretary of State and Senator John Kerry, the so-called richest man in private equity with a personal net worth currently valued at $15.7 billion, Stephen A. Schwarzman, political journalist and author Dana Milbank, and the youngest member of President Obama's cabinet, economist Austin Goolsbee.
We got duped. Got duped big time. Which, of course, if you guys know history, after George Bush came this. Is that a little too blunt for you? Is that a little bit too obvious? It's both sides of the aisle, folks. We just need to deal with it. Obama, boy, we could spend a lot of time on this guy and his background. But he admitted on tape back in the day, just like Bush did, if he had eyes to see and ears to hear. Obama was not a Christian. In fact, he was very anti-Christian. Watch this.
And moreover, given the increasing diversity of America's populations, the dangers of sectarianism are greater than ever. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. And even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would it be James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's? Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application?
Blasphemy. And then the people clapped. Sounds just like that Yuval Noah Harari guy. Blaspheming, mocking. That's why he went to become, and secular researchers admit this, he became the most anti-Christian so-called president in the history of the United States. And again, these guys will tell you who they're working for if you have eyes to see, ears to hear with their symbols and phraseology. We saw this last time. Back to Hitler with the swastika, with the SS. Back to Klaus and the gang. New Age, Age of Aquarius, New World Order. Now it's called the Great Reset. These guys do everything deliberately. And of all phrases for Obama to run on, it was this one. And something very interesting happens if you play it backwards. Let's take a look.
Yes, we can. 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 AUC. AUC.
Now, that actually is an occult behavior. Again, people don't know this because, except for here, you don't get equipped on the occult stuff. Which, by the way, we get equipped on occult stuff because it's in the Bible. And you're supposed to teach all the Bible. But this is what's called in Satanism the law of reversal. Why reverse? Because they hate God. They worship Satan. They hate God. And the number one law of Satanism is do what you will shall be the whole law. It's all about self. That's already everywhere today, even in so-called churches. But another law of Satanism called the law of reversal. Because they hate God and they worship Satan, they find every way they can do the exact opposite reverse of what God says. They'll take all the Ten Commandments and do the exact opposite, including thou shalt not murder, and they will. Okay, but the law of reversal, they try to find ways to do anything in reverse, whether it be speaking backwards. Also, this was popularized with backmasking and things of that nature, right? Also, they do rituals backwards. They literally walk backwards. Anything, the law of reversal and Satanism is you do the opposite of God, okay? Including one of the Obama's best buddies, the Obama family. And that rhymes with Oprah Ron Kenobi. Remember that? Still to this day, they're always buddies. They're hanging out, doing all kinds of stuff. Well, it just so happens that Oprah named her studio Harpo, which just happens to be the reverse of Oprah. Oh, is she just being so creative? I think they're telling you who they're working for. But nobody gets it because you don't understand the occult. The other thing that we see, people would say, possibly this one as well. Her network, OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network, just happens to be the opposite of New World Order. And she never gives us any signs that she's working for the New World Order. Excuse me? And I quote, secular article. Folks, they're all involved in the occult. This is from author Jason Kovac, secular guy. And he says this about Oprah Winfrey. Quote, Oprah freely confesses to demonic possession as a tool to enhance her influencing performances before the camera. Quote from Oprah, I tried to empty myself and let the spirit inhabit me. Every morning before the scenes, I lit candles and said the names of the spirits and prayed to the so-called ancestors. It's on tape. And again, that open possession to have a greater influence on the viewers. That's nothing new. As we also saw before in our cult studies, the music industry does the same thing. Beyonce is on tape admitting that spirits possess her. One of them she calls Sasha, who comes inside her and gives her the ability to do what she does. It's there if you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and dare I say, a heart to deal with it. This is what we're up against today. Now, not to be left out of this, speaking of Obamas, Michelle and her mom allowed voodoo to be practiced in the White House. This is her 73-year-old mom, Marion Robinson. She invited a voodoo priestess to the White House. Her husband, Fraser, was hobbled with multiple sclerosis, and so she brings in this voodoo priestess. Quote, Michelle's mother took her dad to ceremonies where they did spells, trances, sacrificed animals, chickens, and goats. Quote, then the first grandma invited an old friend from Chicago to visit her at the White House, where she also performed voodoo ceremonies at the residence. You know the history? Who came next? The Trumps. Now, we're going to be honest with the facts, because that's what we are as Christians. If you see evil on one side, what do? You call it out. But if you see evil on the other side, what do? Call it out. Stop being a hypocrite. Me personally, if you guys have been around Sunrise long enough, even while Trump was in office, hey, I'd rather have his economic policy any day of the week than any Democrat, Biden, you name it, Hillary, whatever. But don't drink the Kool-Aid. If they do something wrong, he does something wrong, what are you supposed to do? Call it out. He still to this day, folks, is a huge mega supporter of the LGBTQ alphabet gang. That is an abomination to God. Why would we accept something that a society God destroyed involved in that? Read the Bible. Number two, he still refuses to admit that the COVID pandemic shots is a process that is mass murdering people. Oh, he threw a bone out there because people have been barking at him over this. You need to have, you know, report this, the safety and efficacy of these things. Whoop-de-doo-dah. Dude, if we can figure it out, you can figure it out. You got access to more information than we do. Call it out. But just like Bush, folks, Trump admitted on tape, he ain't trusting Christ as his savior. Watch this.
Because you used the word Christian. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I don't think in terms of, I'm a religious person. Shockingly, because people are so shocked when they find this out, I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian, and I go to church and I love God and I love my church. And Norman Vincent Peale, the great Norman Vincent Peale, was my pastor. The power of positive thinking. Everybody's heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He was so great. He would give a sermon, you never wanted to leave. Sometimes we have sermons, and every once in a while we think about leaving a little early, right, even though we're Christian. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Frank, would give a sermon. I'm telling you, I still remember his sermons. It was unbelievable. And what he would do is he'd bring real-life situations, modern-day situations, into the sermon. And you could listen to him all day long. When you left the church, you were disappointed that it was over. He was the greatest guy. And then, you know, he passed away, but he was a great... He wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a great book.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness?
I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
So is that why you're still supporting the LGBTQ alphabet gang? Is that why you still will not call the COVID shots out for what they really are? Yes. Someone say, well, hey, that was back then at that interview, but he's a Christian now. He's just a baby Christian. Then call it out! You cannot accept what God calls an abomination and then promote it. And then when people are being mass murdered on the planet and it still ain't stopping, folks, you refuse to say anything about it. I got a problem with that. If you're going to call evil out on one side, you better call it on the other. You know why? Because when we finally get around to share the most important thing, how to get saved through Jesus Christ, that crowd has every right to say, oh yeah, give me a break. You give this guy a free pass, and you're always, that ain't helping the cause of Christ, folks. We're Christians, we're truth tellers. You see evil here, call it out. You see evil here, call it out. But we've got to be consistent. And then, of course, we're dealing with Sleepy Joe. Yes, I'm Joe Biden, and I slept through this message, right? Well, where's he at? Well, if we saw in our witchcraft study, this guy, again, just like all the rest, if you know the occult, he told you who he was working for. Now, it was not by chance, we saw this in our witchcraft study, that of all logos for them to run on, it was that. I'm sure that was a coincidence. No, it wasn't. Again, just like Hitler with the swastika, the SS, they're telling you who they're working for. Just like Hollywood with the lightning bolts and the one eye, they tell you who they're working for. It's just people don't want to deal with it. Okay? It's the same thing. And not only that, I'm going to break a cardinal rule. Please, I am a pastor, and I'm asking you to take out your phone. No, really, take out your phone. Pop out your phone, and I want you to go to your calculator on your phone. Right? And this is another way that they telegraphed and told us who they're working for. But get your phone out, and I want you to get the calculator up, because we're going to take a look at all numbers. Now, think about the mathematical probabilities of any number they could have chosen on the planet to text to support Joe Biden. And then think of also his condition. This guy can't even get on or off stage. He can't even read a teleprompter. And so if you're going to give this guy a text to announce to people, you better give him something simple like 11111. Maybe he'll get it right. But of all numbers on the planet you just happen to come up with, when you have this as your slogan, and then here comes your texting number, it's 30330. I mean, what are the odds of that? Well, here you go. He ran in the year 2020, so type in 2020. Now divide that by 666. What do you get? He told you who he was working for, just like Hitler did, but people didn't get it because you don't know anything about the occult. These guys brag about it. This is why I showed you that picture. They're laughing at us. They know who they're working for. They know exactly who they're working for. Three is a huge number in the occult, including Freemasonry as well. The power of three, triquetra, in witchcraft. It's all there, folks. They tell you who they're working for. Now, did we forget this as well? That Satanists and witches were for Biden? Remember that? Remember all that behavior? The Satanists were coming out and supporting them, the witches? In fact, lest we forget, here's the witches asking for victory for Joe Biden. Watch this.
Hear me, O spirits. O water. Of water, earth, fire,
and
air.
Heavenly hosts. Mirror in my hand. Reflect back upon them. That is where their intentions will land. Mirror in my hand. Reflect back upon them.
That he may feel utterly filled.
That he may do no harm to any human soul.
Nor any tree, animal,
where their intentions will land.
Bind him that he shall not break our polity, usurp our liberty, or fill our minds with hate, will confusion, fear, or despair.
Did we forget that? When you got witches on your side, that's not a good sign, let alone Satanists. And then, of course, he gets in the office, and who does he bring to the office? Other people involved in the occult, including Susan Rice. This is a secular article, still in print. Quote, smudging ritual in the heart of the White House. That's witchcraft. That's what sage, it's a smudging, it's an occult ritual. Susan Rice is now a domestic policy advisor to Joe Biden. Her office was dealing this to doing a smudging ritual to cleanse the office. Quote, Rice was also, if you guys recall, former President Barack Obama's national security advisor. This is why, folks, these guys are laughing at us. This is why they all work together. This is why they get along. They got the same agenda. They all worship Satan and they hate God. And this is what they're bringing in. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. In fact, this lady in the media admits that that's what's going on. We're in a spiritual war. And that means no man can save us. Only Jesus Christ can. No man's going to turn our country around. Only Jesus Christ can. But she admits that these people are occultists and they hate God. Exactly what God said, Revelation 9, Romans chapter 1. Right? But watch this.
I met someone who I'm dying to have more time with. But this person's job for many years was to infiltrate what you call the global elites. What I would say to you, I no longer use that term for the most part, because this person taught me that they're not elite, they're a cult. That's what they are.
That's
they're
a good term.
They're a global cult. And why does that matter so much? Because it's accurate. It's about who they really are and what they really want. Where they're taking us. They're not taking us to a world, you know, of elites, right? They're taking us into the dark heart of a cult where, what do you have? You have people whose one single most important defining objective is to eliminate and eradicate God. And this is, and I'm telling you, this is what this person who spent years, he had to read. Apparently they have all this, works and teachings and literature and so on and so on. I mean, he spent 2.5 years just studying everything from the rituals to the traditions to the ideology and so on and so on and so on in order to be able to successfully infiltrate them at the UN level, right? I can't tell you which faction he was part of. I don't want to give too much away. But because one of the things I asked him is, I said, I get it, but I don't get it. The children. I have such a problem with this. You got to explain this one to me. And he said, well, first of all, you're looking at it the wrong way. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, they don't define children the way you do. They don't define the world the way you do. The choices that you face are not their choices, right? They look at it completely differently. And I said, well, okay, so how do they look at it? And he said, for them, everything is defined by their one fundamental, all-consuming purpose. I said, which is what? He said, to defeat God, right? Because this is the moment, I mean, for them, it's about the real God, the true gods are them and Satan, right? And so he said, children are the closest thing on earth to God because we are created in the image of God. And as, you know, from the moment we're created, we haven't had time to be corrupted and to stray. So for them, the younger you are, the closer you are to God, the more pain they can inflict on God. So the more you can make a baby or a small child suffer, the greater your victory over God. And that is the only consideration for them.
Haters of God. Everything Hitler did, the last time we had a megamaniac trying to take over the world. He was an evolutionist. He was an occultist. And a hater of God. These guys are doing the same thing. Klaus has been working since 1971. The World Economic Forum. Planting these people all over in every developed nation. That's why they all work together perfectly. They're all evolutionists, occultists, and haters of God. And they're building what the Bible is the only book on the planet calls it out for what it is, the Antichrist kingdom, who will blaspheme God in his name and who have the audacity to call himself God and demand people worship him. It's all happening before our very eyes. I'll say it again, folks. There is no politician that's going to save America. Only Jesus Christ can. We are in a spiritual battle okay? And we need to spend our time doing what God's called us to do. We need to get the gospel out. That's it. As we what? The real King of Kings, the real Lord of Lords, the real one and only God is coming back to this planet. He's coming to get us his bride. And then at the end of the 7-year tribulation, we get to be a part of the true utopia that is coming to this planet. And we have the privilege to tell as many people as we can. You can join us too if you would just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins. Trust that it was his death and his death alone on the cross that is the full payment of forgiveness of your sins. Confess him as Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave. The Bible says you will be saved. That's the kingdom that you want to be a part of. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step, to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, The gavel's been passed. The judges said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty. You even admit you're guilty. And for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.